Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our worship service for March 29th. I have a couple of announcements for you. First of all, I would ask that if you have any prayer requests, that you submit them by sending them to my email or to First Church email or to Ruthie Leupold so that we can get those in our next worship service and that we can get them out to people for prayer. I'd also like to tell you today that I am having some help with the worship service. Michelle Tice will be bringing the message today, and I thank Michelle for that. Those of you at Phelps know that every month that there's a fifth Sunday, one of our lay speakers speaks, and this is Michelle's turn to give the message. So Michelle will be presenting us with a message today, and Aaron Winslow will be presenting some special music for us also. So I welcome them and thank them for their help in this worship service. Now let us join together for our call to worship. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us now join together in our opening prayer. Thank you, Lord, for loving me so much that you created me so lovingly and carefully, for me to have a personal relationship with you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you open my spiritual eyes to see more than I see now, and my ears to hear much clearer than I have ever heard. Take me deeper, rooted in love, into the revelation of your word. Help me to live by every word that flows from your mouth. I invite you in for a deeper relationship with you. Come teach me to be childlike, living in wide-eyed wonder of your ways, wanting and yearning to learn more. I want to chase after you so I can be more like you and your perfect ways. Let the fire of your love fall and burn anything away that is not of you. Let it ignite the flame in my heart to deeply burn for you. Burn so bright that others can see your love and the love I have for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I'd like to read to you today our first lesson, which comes from the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. This is the word of God for the people of God. Now I'd like to share with you our joys and concerns. First of all, we'd like to remember the family of Darla Matter. Darla passed away this week, so if you would keep the Matter family in your prayers. Keep Jamie Trostel in your prayers. Jamie had knee surgery. Pray for her recovery, that God would continue to renew and strengthen her. Pam Welshance has been sick for a couple of weeks. Keep Pam in your prayers. I just talked with Cindy, and Pam is starting to come around, but she's still in need of our prayers. Some prayers of joy. Bobby Barton, who we prayed for last week, is doing much better. Bob Smith is doing well and in remission and is off his chemo pills, and we rejoice in that. Bob Green is having trouble with gout, but is still able to get around a lot better. We need to keep John Green away in our prayers. John is also struggling with gout. We keep John in our prayers as he deals with that painful disease. George Roller is in the hospital in Baltimore, down at Johns Hopkins. He's gone down again for more treatments. Do keep George and his wife in your prayers as they are down in the hospital. And just keep their family in your prayers as they go through this difficult time with George. A message from Danny Bowers. I haven't been able to reach her, but she had sent in a prayer request that they are trying to get Vanessa out of Colombia. Vanessa is a Peace Corps volunteer in Colombia, South America. Her flight was canceled and she was not able to get out last week. But they are trying to get out the 54 remaining Peace Corps volunteers who are in Colombia. So keep that situation in your prayers, and all those who are in difficult situations, those who are struggling with the coronavirus, their family members who are going through it with them, those who are in quarantine, just all of the people who are struggling with this difficulty. Keep our military personnel in your prayers as they are separated from their families at this very difficult time. We just ask that you would pray for them to give them guidance. Be with all our first responders. Just keep them in your prayers. Lift them up as they are out on the front lines working with people, that God would just be with them and provide safety and protection for them. For those small business owners who are struggling, keep them in your prayers also. Let us now join together for prayer. Dear Lord, we come before you today as your people. We look around us and see so much difficulty and hurt and pain and sickness. And Lord, we come before you with heavy hearts for those who are struggling. We lift them up before you and ask that you would meet every need according to your will, that you would work in the lives of these people, that you would touch each one. We ask that you would be with the Matter family, Lord, as they go through this time of loss. We ask for your peace to fall upon them and for them to know your comfort in a very special way. We ask that you would be with Jamie as she recovers from her knee surgery. We just ask that you would touch her and renew and strengthen her body. And we ask for your peace to be upon her. We ask that you would be with Pam as she struggles with sickness. We just ask that you would touch her body and renew and strengthen her. And we ask for your peace to just fill her and for her to know your presence in a very special way. We praise you for the work that you've done in Bobby and just ask that you would continue to work in him. And we praise you for the work that you've done in Bob Smith, that his cancer is in remission and that he's off of his pills. We just praise you for that and ask that you would continue to work in him. We ask that you would continue to be with Bob Green as he continues to struggle with gout, and also with John Greenaway as he also struggles with gout. We just ask that you would touch them, that you would renew them, that you would just be with them and help them to know your presence. We just ask that you would be with those Peace Corps volunteers, and especially with Vanessa and her family as she strives to get home. We ask for guidance and direction. We ask that you would open doors. And we ask that you would be with this church family as we strive to be your witness in the place where you have put us, in a very difficult time and in a difficult way. May we touch lives with how we live and how we act in our own home situations. We ask for peace and strength for those who are struggling with being at home and being alone. We ask that you would give us guidance, that we would reach out and be able to touch those who are alone and lonely, that we may speak to them with your love and your grace. Lord, we ask that you would just be with this country as the leaders strive to make decisions. We ask for wisdom. We ask for guidance. We ask that you would be with us, Lord, that you would give us your direction. And now, Lord, we ask that you would be with us as we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to our March 29th online service for Phelps Chapel United Methodist Church, as well as First United Methodist Church. My name is Michelle Tice, and I am the lay servant at Phelps Chapel. I pray that you all are doing well despite this coronavirus situation. I know it's been difficult for all of us. Just remember, it doesn't matter how it started or when it will end or how it will end. Just remember that our God is bigger than this. And Romans 8:28 says, "We know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." You need to just put your trust in God. You need to stay safe, follow the CDC guidelines. Do keep in touch with your elderly family and neighbors. If you need prayers, please reach out to Pastor Larry, and we will make sure that we will be praying for you and putting you on our prayer list. Remember, this could be a great time for us who are the church to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ by reaching out to others in love. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I commit myself to do the very best I can for your glory, not mine. Please clear my mind of distractions and warm my heart with compassion. Speak to me that I may speak for you. Speak through me that I may speak to those who wait to hear your word and open their ears to hear and to fully understand. Lord, I ask that you remove self and pride. Soften hearts so that the Holy Spirit will fall upon us today. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's sermon text comes from Psalms chapter 139, verses 13 through 18. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book, before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So before I get into the message that I have prepared for you guys today, I wanted to mention that the songs that are being sung by Aaron Winslow and Fawn Woodruff. They go to Hope River at the YMCA in Jersey Shore. They are part of the worship team there. They are both friends of mine, and I am so happy and thrilled that they graciously allowed me to bring to you guys their beautiful talent with singing and playing the guitar. So I truly hope from the bottom of my heart that you will be blessed by them giving you such beautiful songs. Okay, on to the message. I titled my message, Who Are You? First, I have a question. How many of you at one time or another started to read the book and just could not put it down? I'll be honest, I totally hate reading. I have so many books sitting around my house that need to be read. But I have read some books in the past, picked up a few, ones that intrigued me based on what the book was about, which usually is about Jesus' faith and learning more to help me on my spiritual walk. And the Bible is one of them. My friend and mentor, Ellie Benna, suggested the newest book that I just read. This isn't the first book that she has either suggested I get or one she has left me borrow. And as usual, this book was hard to put down. It is called The Prophetic Voice of God by Lana Vassar. When I picked it up, I kept reading it. In fact, I was halfway through it the first day. In this book, the author talked about when she was growing up. She was a bit different from the other girls her age. Why? Because she chased after God. She would watch all of the older TV movies that had something to do with God, Jesus, and the Bible. And I'm sure a lot of you understand what movies I'm talking about. She would sing praises to God all of the time. She dreamed dreams and wanted just more of Him. She chased after God. Now, you might not believe this, but it honestly sounded like she was talking about me when I was younger. The more I read, the more I understood what she was saying. She wanted more of God, to be closer to Him. The author talked about having a close, intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father and about who we are in Christ, who He says we are, and what He longs for us and from us. It made me think, whatever happened to that young me who desired to be close to God? Who am I now? And who does God say I am? Why did he choose me? You see, when I was in elementary school, I was kind of like Lana. I chased after God, although I didn't know what I was really doing. I know some might question this statement, but it's true. I loved watching all of those same movies that she liked. My eyes and ears would be drawn to what was going on, what was being said. I recall one night, the movie that was on was about Jesus' life, probably right before Easter time. I don't remember the name of it, but my mom allowed me to stay up past my bedtime to watch it. I literally sat there and wept quietly. I was so moved by what was happening. But when the part came on, when Jesus was nailed to the cross, I couldn't hold back the quiet tears anymore, and I cried out loud. My mom was worried and asked me what was wrong. And I looked at her, and through my agony, I cried out, "They are killing my Jesus!" I remember it so vividly. Growing up, we used to have a small electric organ that I loved to play. The music sheets for it were mostly hymns. It was one of those easy to play, an easy learner, because it had numbers. I recall playing it all of the time. And not only did I play it, but I sang those songs loudly. I didn't care who heard me either. I was not ashamed, nor was I embarrassed. I was praising my Jesus. But at the time, I didn't know it. I was just innocently singing a song, loudly, and most likely off-key. I would also have dreams that drew me in, wanting to know more. The one I really remember was about ice skating in our backyard. You see, sometimes it would rain during the winter times on the snow, then it would freeze again, or maybe the snow melted a bit and froze, and we would be able to skate in our backyard. So in this dream, I was skating. The sky was cloudy and gloomy. All of a sudden, the clouds opened up in a circle. The sun shined brightly through the opening. Next, a ladder came down, and it frightened me. So I stayed back from it. The next thing I saw were angels coming down the ladder. They were so beautiful, big wide wings and vivid white gowns. They just kept coming down and going back up. That's what I recall. At my age, I honestly and innocently thought that all of these things that was going on in my life were normal. I thought everyone experienced them. This reminds me of having childlike faith. In Mark chapter 10, verse 15, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like this child will not enter it at all." Or Matthew chapter 19, verse 14, "But Jesus said, 'Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God.'" Childlike faith. I think I need to recapture that and tightly keep a hold of it. How about you? Do you remember the parable Jesus told about the prodigal son? Well, I am definitely a prodigal daughter, time after time. But praise God, he was always there, waiting for me to return with his loving arms opened wide to take me back each and every time. So why would he do this for not only me, but you as well? Who are we to him? I'm sure many, if not all, have asked yourselves this question at one time, maybe even a bit confused or torn about who you truly are. I know I have asked myself that question many, many times. And we all know the obvious: male, female, mother, daughter, son, father, husband, wife, friend, teacher, pastor, truck driver, farmer, factory worker, military personnel, veteran, and so on. But who are we really? Do our jobs define who we truly are? Maybe in the eyes of the world, but definitely not in the eyes of God. So who is God? God is a personal, all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal, loving, spirit-composed family of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is creator of all. He is I Am, Yahweh, sovereign, omnipotent, omnipresent. He is in control. He is love. Who does he say we are? Well, I wish I could say, follow these three easy steps and all will be well in your life. You will know God personally and you will fully understand who God says we are and so on and so on. In a way, it is kind of that easy, but we all have our own path set out before us by God. And unfortunately, many of us, like myself, tend to stray off that path like sheep many, many times. We tend to be difficult and complicate things way too much, too often. We make those steps so much harder than it needs to be. We want things our way, when we want it, and we feel that we can do things so much better all by ourselves. But we are just fooling ourselves if we think that way. What I'm about to say from here on might not mean much to you if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to go out on a limb here and say that you all have accepted him. But then I would hear my mom, God rest her soul, say, I wonder how many people sitting in churches today who have not yet been saved. And you know what? Mom is right. It's true. I don't know. Only you know. So with that being said, if any of you doubt even the slightest questioning of where you will spend your eternity, the day you draw your last breath, please consider today being the day you start to draw nearer to God by accepting his Son, the one who took our place on the cross, who died an agonizing death for you, for me. Accept him into your heart today and be truly forgiven for your sins. If you need help in doing this, please message us so we can help you on your journey as a new person in Jesus Christ. Okay, so our first step is accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord over our lives. Then you really need to start building a close and personal relationship with Jesus, because we cannot go to God on our own. The only way is through Jesus, his Son. And then we will be adopted into God's family for eternity. John chapter 14:6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Here's a question. Do you desire to have a close, intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father? If so, then the second step is done, so to speak. That desire that you have in your heart to be closer to him will help set your intentions and your focus on him. That desire will spark a flame, and if you hold on to that desire, that flame will become a roaring fire, feeding your desire to want more of him. I used to have that when I was younger, and praise God, I have it again. Next, you need to go to where he is and place yourself in his presence. Where's that? Well, God is always present. He is always near, and he is always waiting. Prayer is a wonderful gift that can be done anywhere, anytime, to help bring us closer to him. But so many times it is not done. It is overlooked until we need help or we hit rock bottom. Just remember that God is the rock at the bottom. Always pray. Never cease. It is our responsibility to build this relationship with him. He wants a personal relationship with us, but he won't push it onto us. This is the difference between religion and relationship. He won't force his love upon us or make us actively follow him. We need to invite him in. We need to chase after him. We need to invest time into getting to know him. He is our future, forever future. He laid out our path. He has plans for us. James 4 8 says, come near to God and He will come near to you. We need to make that first step. He wants to hear our prayers. They will never go unheard, even though many times we think they do. You can voice your concerns, your desires, and open your heart to Him. Be still and listen for His voice. Psalms 46:10a reads, be still and know I am God. Sometimes we need to talk to Him through our prayers. Sometimes we need to praise Him. Always, always thanking Him for everything, whether it's on a bright sunny day or in the middle of the storm like we're going through now. And just sometimes we really need to quiet ourselves and listen for His still, small voice. Be still in His presence. We were created to connect with God, to have a relationship with Him. He is a personal God. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He created us. Another quote-unquote step that we need to do is to read our Bibles daily. His words are powerful and true, never bending to worldly views. I have heard this many times, that the Bible is a book of love stories from God. It is a lifeline, a guide to helping us when we need help, and it is encouragement. It is God speaking to us. You know, a relationship is a two-way street. We need to speak to Him what is on our hearts. We need to read His words in order to what He says to help us all along our way. We need to go to Him, be in His presence without any time limits. Give Him our time. He should be first. And we should just soak in His love that He has for us. God sees the perfect creation He intended, but knows we always fall short. As we go along life's journey in search of Christ, He will help recognize our true self through our daily reading of His Word. The Bible is the living Word of God. God also places people in our lives to love us and vice versa. And we need to be with other believers so we can not only learn from those who have a mature relationship with Him, but also to help us grow in our faith and our belief. We all have made choices that shows we tend to be indifferent to God. We all have strayed like sheep. Sometimes we have been very angry with Him. I've been there so many times. The result of our choices to resist or to ignore God results in spiritual death, which is separation from God. Again, I have walked away numerous times, separated from being close to Him, which in turn led me down some very bumpy roads. Ashamed and embarrassed that I lost my way, I forgot who I was. I turned my back on God and felt God would never want me back. How could He? All the horrible things I've done. Sometimes we tend to forget who we are in Christ among the voices in our head. Those voices are lies from Satan, or possibly things that we may have said to ourselves, like, how could God take us back? I've done such horrible, awful things. Satan knows our weaknesses and will continue to try to make us trip up by using those lies. He tries to get us off track on our way with God, on the beautiful walk that we are trying to have with Him, just like He did when He was in the garden with Eve. He made her doubt what God said. He fed her lies by twisting God's words and good intentions. He will continue to lie to us if we are willing to listen. In her book, Lana says, whatever we feast on, we empower. Are you feeding into Satan's lies? Or are you rooted in love in God's word and who He says we are? If you are not fully connected to God all of the time, We could be tempted by the lies that Satan tells us, and we are weak without God. So listen, if you need to vacuum your floors, it has to be plugged in. You can't expect it to turn on and work doing the job that it was designed to do unless it's plugged in to an energy source. The same is true for us. We need to be plugged into God every day by reading and meditating on His Word. Then apply what we learn from it into our lives and those around us. We need to go to Him in prayer, praising Him in worship. He is our source of energy. He is our lifeline. Just showing up at church once a week isn't enough to truly know our Creator. You won't ever hear His still small voice if you are not continuously connected to Him on a daily basis. You won't find out who He says you are. We were created to be in Christ, in God's environment. So what environment is a fish made for? Water, right? What happens if a fish jumps out of the safety of his fish tank from the water he was made for? He would eventually die unless someone puts him back, correct? Well, the same is true for us. We were created by God for God, and if we leave the environment we were made for, we would spiritually die. We all have a God-shaped hole in our hearts where He belongs. You can try filling it with other things, but it won't last, because that was made just for God's love. It's in our DNA. Who does God say we are? Well, in what I read from Psalms chapter 139, verses 13 through 18, is that He formed us so intricately and woven everything together in our mother's womb. He made us mysteriously complex. He formed our bones. He carefully, skillfully, and lovingly shaped each and every one of us. He thoroughly knows each of us. Everything there is ever to know, He knows it. Even the hairs on our heads are numbered. Obviously, God thinks we are a pretty big deal. We are woven into the tapestry of all He has created. We are reminded in Isaiah 43:1b, I have called you by name, you are mine. We are royalty. We are His workmanship. We are made complete in Him, He who is all power and authority. We were created to love and to be loved by Him. God sees us as valid and needed. We need to start being who we were created to be. God knows us best. He created us for His purpose. If we remain in Christ Jesus every day, we are who He says we are. We can do what He says we can do. The God of all creation greatly loves us. In His eyes, we are who He says we are, and nothing less. We need to start believing it in our hearts with that burning desire to know Him more. The world sees us differently, defines us differently, but we should not conform to what the world thinks of us. We are defined by the cross, all of it, right there on that old rugged cross. That's who we are. We are in Christ. Christ took our sins, bore them on that cross. He loves us that much. Why would you want anything else? The cross is enough. The more we reaffirm who He says we are, the more that our behavior will begin to reflect our true identity. God is constantly pouring out His grace and reminding us of whose we are. He is a good and perfect Father who disciplines His children. But when He corrects us, it is never to condemn us. It is to lovingly show us our mistakes, to let us know how much He loves us, and that we were made for so much more. He wants us to be more like Him. He wants to encourage us and to lift us up higher. God says in Christ, we are His. We are loved. We are worthy. We are blessed. We are purposed. We are friends. He delights in us, redeemed, made in His image. We are no longer slaves. We are strong and able. We are no longer in darkness, but live in the light of His Son. We are chosen, a saint, a servant, a soldier for God. We are victorious, an ambassador for Christ. The God who spoke the world into existence wants to hear from us. He wants a personal relationship with us. He needs to be first in our lives. So getting back to my story, when I was in elementary school, my parents divorced. I began to rebel. I let go of that childlike faith, that belief and love that I had deep in my heart for Jesus. Not altogether, because where the seed is planted, there's still hope that it will grow again. I began to listen to Satan's lies. I fell short. I fell hard. I tried filling that void in my heart where Jesus once resided with things not of God. For several years, I walked in total darkness. I walked in my own wilderness like the Israelites did. Was this path that God had set out before me? I'm not really sure. All I know is by my choices, my hand, I made some pretty bad decisions, which directed my path in a whole different direction than when I first began, which in turn disconnected me with my lifeline. Not totally, but I was less apt to go to Him for direction. Only when I fell hard is when I reached out to Him. I begged for His help. I would listen to Him for a short while, or maybe partially, and then I would return to my old ways, struggling every step of the way. I am now 49 years old, and about 20 years ago, I started once again wanting more of God, thanks to some pretty amazing spirit-filled people in my life, which I'm sure God put on my path. I wanted to learn more. It still took a good 5 years for me to be more committed to my journey of chasing after Him, not only for myself, but for those whom I love. I renewed my faith stronger and deeper than before. I once again started to dream dreams and to praise Him like I did before with all my heart. I just wanted more of Him, like when I was in elementary school. What I learned was that He was always there for me. He never left my side. I left His. He was faithful even when I wasn't. Looking back at all those years of defiant behavior, I was like the Israelites, walking aimlessly in the wilderness, wanting from God and begging for relief, but not changing their ways, not being thankful or appreciative for what He did give them, but being selfish. That was me. How grateful I am that my Heavenly Father loves me so much to look past my selfishness, my mistakes, my human nature. Instead, He looked at my heart. He knew I longed for Him, but for whatever reason, I seemed to have given up on Him, and I given up on turning to Him. He knew that someday I would return, a prodigal daughter. He knew. How? Because He made me. He knew what my future held. He made my path. He never left my side. He heard my quiet cries deep within. There hasn't been a future that He has not yet seen, and He knew mine. I'm still not sure what God has in store for me. I mean, who would have thought I would be giving a message, this message, any message that I have ever given in the past? I never thought for once that I would be doing this. But I know the more I am in His presence, the more I will learn. I know I am able to do whatever it is He needs me to do because I am strong in Christ. I am a warrior. I am more than a conqueror. I am a child of God, a priesthood. I am redeemed. And I am here to bring glory to God. I am His friend. And I am loved more than I could ever imagine. I am His. Amen.
Who am I that the highest would ever
I leave you with these words from Lana, the author of the book I read. When rules change, there is one position that never changes. You are a child of God. You are a son or daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Your glorious Father absolutely adores you. He lavishes you with so much adoration. He loves you not because of what you do, but because of who you are. He rejoices and delights over you with singing, not because of how many things you have done right today or how much time you have spent with him. He delights over you today and every day because you are his. His love for you never changes. Your position never changes. You won't wake up tomorrow morning and not be his child. You are always his child. You are always his beloved. He formed you in your mother's womb, and he knows you. He is just waiting for you to come back to him, deeper than before, wanting more of him. Now, through the rest of today and this week, as we are going through this difficult time, please keep these words in your hearts and be sure to never forget whose you are. And remember, you are in his thoughts always, and those thoughts outnumber the grains of sand. Wow, that is just way too many to count. Thanks be to God for his unmeasurable love for us, his children. Amen.